Good morning.
Morning.
Our first scripture, scripture reading is from Deuteronomy 4, 1 to 2, and then 6 to 9, and it can be found on page 279 in your pew Bible or up on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear now, O Israel, the decree and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command or in you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this is the great nation, is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and the law as this body of the laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourself closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Our second scripture lesson is from the book of James, the first chapter, verses 17 to 27, and can be found on page 1658 in your pew Bibles or up on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brother, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all mortal filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
When I'm counseling couples before they get married, there's an exercise that we do together. I make them sit down in chairs and face one another. Look deeply, longly into each other's eyes, and say something that they wish about their relationship and how it would make them feel if their wish would come true. And so, whoever is bolder, of course, will start first. And I coach them up. I say, use I statements. I statements are sentences that begin with I wish that we would, you know, go out more as a couple together, or I wish we could watch what I want on TV every once in a while, rather than you need to, you know, you can imagine what what would come of that way of starting a conversation. It's a practice known as assertiveness. A person who is assertive is one who is confident. They know what it is they want, and they're able to, with confidence and yet with love, to express themselves and how they feel to their significant other, in this case, the person that they are getting ready to say marriage vows with. But as we know, conversations are not a one-way street, or at least they shouldn't be. And so the receiver of this message has a role to play as well. And it's a practice we call active listening. The person hears what the other person has said and then must articulate back to them what the other person has said. Sometimes if it's very clear, expressing it right back to them in their own words. You'd be surprised, though, or maybe you wouldn't be surprised by this, those of you who are married or have been married, the number of times that the person who thinks that they are speaking clearly and assertively has their message misinterpreted by the one who is the receiver. And through this practice of active listening, we realize that the person who's supposed to be doing the hearing has not heard the right message. Sort of like one of those old long-distance telephone calls that would kind of crackle and fade in and out, and you wouldn't always get the message so clearly. Well, in that way, the person who's doing the receiving doesn't always understand. A message of, I wish we could watch what I want on TV every once in a while, may not mean that at all. It might be a way of saying, we always do what you want to do all of the time in every situation, and I'm sick and tired of it. But that isn't what they said. And maybe that isn't, and maybe that's what they meant to say, but couldn't express it clearly. And the other person didn't get the message. In couples counseling, we call that assertiveness and active listening. But what I want to think about today takes active listening to another level. You can imagine this same couple sitting looking longingly into each other's eyes. The one says, I wish we could watch what I want on television. And the other person says, honey, I understand. You would like us to watch your choice in television programming every once in a while. And she says, yes, that would make me so happy if we could just do that. And I think, I'm like the best, right? I've facilitated this wonderful, beautiful moment. And imagine the same couple coming in next week, and I say, so how did it go? And she says, we still watch sports all the time. He heard what she had to say. He understood what she had to say. But there's a difference, isn't there, between hearing what someone has to say and actually listening to them. I'm convinced that my own children hear every word that I say. But boy, I tell you what, they've like crossed over this threshold from 2 into 2.5. And suddenly I speak English and they only hear in German. It must be because they don't listen to a word that I say. It's not that bad. But doesn't that happen? Of course, we are always perfect listeners and followers of other people's instructions, right? God has given us this law, this set of commandments. Anyone want to take their chance at naming all 10 of them? I'm not actually going to put you on the spot and make you do that, but we know what they are, right? We know the first commandment is, you know, to love the Lord your God and A second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's kind of the summary of the law. If we were to get into the specific points, there's something about stealing, and there's something about adultery, and there's something about coveting the things that your neighbor has, and there's something about honoring your father and your mother, and there's something about murdering, and there's something about lying. There's something about those graven images that we talked about last week, and there's something about God being the only God in our lives. I think it was Martin Luther who said, we ought to just stop at the first commandment. And if we could ever get that one right, then we could move on to the rest. But this sense that God is the only God is one that we miss. And we talked about this last week. Before we talk about then religion, as James calls it, all of the sort of rules and regulations, though, we need to stop for a moment and consider the character of God. And I want to tell you again exactly what James has to say to his church. He writes, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Friends, too often our world understands God to be this distant being who, gives us these instructions to make life difficult. These hoops to jump through, and, we see all the people who disobey having such a good time. So, God must just exist to make those of us who follow miserable in some way. But that's not the God that I'm reading about here in James. I'm reading about a God who loves us, who cares about us, who's given us gifts, who watches over us, who doesn't seek to make our lives difficult. We don't need any help in that. We do a pretty good job of that on our own. But a God who loves us. Every good and perfect gift is from above, James says. Before we start talking about all the things that we need to do, we need to recognize that that comes from a solid foundation of love. The God who loves us and cares for us. If you've ever had a person in your life who loves you and cares for you deeply, sacrificially, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a significant other, maybe a teacher or a professor, some authority figure in your life who invested themselves deeply in you. If they asked you to do something that would be good for you to do, chances are you would probably do it. In the same way, James is saying, this is the God whom we worship. This is the God that brought those Israelites out of their slavery in Egypt, who stood by their side and who stood at the base of Mount Sinai and heard those words from Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Follow his decrees and his commandments. Not set in place to make your lives difficult or impossible, but to give you structure, to give you discipline, to help you to live your life in such a way that you can live it to its fullness. And that your children can learn from the example that you set. And the nations can learn from the example that you set. The nations who will look at you and say, how marvelous these people, they have a God who walks with them, who's there by their side in times of difficulty and war and hardship and tragedy, a God who is there by their side leading them. Yeah, a lot better than these old gods of stone that we have. Whose gods can compare to that God? The whole idea was that the people that God loved and that loved God would follow these commandments so that the people could see the fruit that would produce in their lives. And that would make a difference for them. James goes on to say, though, that, well, we've turned religion into something else. And this is like first century stuff, just a couple of generations after the death of Jesus. You can imagine how far afield we may have come in 2,000 years' time. We're only talking about, you know, somewhere between 60 and 100 years here. Religion has already become all about the rules, standing at the right time, sitting at the right time, saying the right words, doing the right things, making the best appearance. But James says, is that really the heart of religion as God intends it? Are we really meant to hear these decrees and then live our own way the rest of the time? He says, no, that's meaningless. He says, let me give you a good hint, a good clue, a way to get you started down the road of righteousness, as he calls it. Don't just be hearers of the word, be doers. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. I mentioned a certain politician at the early service. I probably don't need to mention even by name here. Someone who's risen to prominence recently, who shows us what it means to be quick to speak and quick to get angry and slow to listen. You can vote for whoever you want. Believe me, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that this person shows us the exact kind of thing that James is counseling the church to stay away from. Where would we be as a community if each individual person felt as if their voice was the most important voice and that what they wanted was the most important thing? And they can prove it by yelling louder than everyone else so that their voices will be heard. Is that any way to build a community? Instead, James says, listen first. Be slow to speak. Be slow to get angry. A group of us from the church here attended the Willow Creek Leadership Summit a few weeks ago, and there was a speaker there. Her name is Brené Brown. She's a famous speaker. Maybe you've seen her TED Talk on shame. Those of you who know what TED Talks are, undoubtedly you've seen hers. It's one of the most popular ones. She spoke this time about the stories that we tell, the stories that we tell ourselves, that we create in our minds, about other people and about what their intentions are that align with the way that they act toward us, that make us respond in a certain way. Let me give you an example of this. This morning, we were sitting outside and it's a really loud motorcycle drove by. You hate that, right? Can't hear very well. And so I told the folks there, I said, The stories we create make us angry when we don't really have any reason to be angry. You know, that guy was just out for a stroll. It's a nice day. But couldn't I tell myself that that morning he had opened up his newspaper and seen that Abundant Life Reformed Church was having a worship service outside on the front lawn at 9 o'clock and said, I'm going to go and disrupt their service and get on that loud motorcycle and drive by right at the exact point that there's a high point in the song and the music. He timed that out exactly right. Did you know that? He did. He intentionally woke up with the idea that he was going to ruin our worship experience. And people do it all the time to me. You know, I know there's someone somewhere controlling all of the red lights, so I hit every single one. I know the person in front of me is intentionally looking at their phone instead of looking up, so when the light turns green, they don't go because they want to make me late for a meeting that I left later than I wanted to be on time for in the first place. People sabotage us all the time in our heads. And we blow it all out of proportion, and it makes us mad. One of the things Brené Brown says we ought to build into our vocabulary is to say to another person, the story I'm telling myself in my head is XYZ, as a way of getting it out there in the open, to give the other person a chance to say, that wasn't my intention at all, or that's not what I was thinking at all. Active listening, being slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry. And why? We talked about this before, because anger leads to pretty much every other sin that there is. Getting angry in and of itself is not a sinful thing. It's something that happens to us all the time. It's what we do when we get angry. When we feed that anger, boy, it's like we're just feeding a monster inside of us. And rather than getting better, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. The antidote, James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. And lest we think that we're talking about all the spiritual benefits of this brand of religion, that the only reason that we're here today is to become better people so we can live our own lives better, so we can be more productive parents and grandparents and workers and volunteers and all this kind of thing. James reminds us that religion, the way that he's talking about, is a very concrete, justice-oriented thing. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Not for our own benefit, but for the benefits of those in our society who have trouble making it from day to day. Those in our society who consider themselves far from God, not for our own benefit, not for our own blessing, but for the blessing of others. God loves us. God cares for us deeply. God has given us a set of commandments, not to make our lives difficult, but to make our lives fruitful, so that the fruit that we bear is justice and mercy and showing all of the world that we belong to a God who loves and cares for them too and wants nothing more for them than that they should come into the fold, count themselves as part of this community. The community of one who laid down his life for us that we might simply live. It's in his name that we gather. We say together, amen. Let's pray. Most holy God, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us laws, rules. Thank you for sending your Spirit to help us to hear, to help us to understand. Lord, help us to take that the next step, to listen, to obey, that we might cultivate the kind of community that you desire for us, a community that cares for the least, for the lost. Give us opportunities for that level of service, that we might take what we believe and put it to action. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.